This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Gosh, man, at some point, I know it's 2024. At some point, shut the hell up.
Olin Krutz.
If the guy didn't want to fight me at some point during the game, I am not playing hard enough.
14-year NFL veteran.
The leader of the whole deal, Olin Krutz. He's the heartbeat, he's the soul, and he's the guy that's going to lead the way for the Bears' offensive line.
Six-time Pro Bowler and four-time NFL All-Pro.
I know if Olin's speaking, it's going to be the truth. It's going to be what he sees, and it's probably going to be right.
Football analyst for 670 The Score.
You know who got the field goal block today? Shane Waldron. Guarantee you, Shane Waldron.
You think is the ghost?
Yeah, Shane Waldron. Shane Waldron, yes.
Rich said to our team last night, I will not understand if we come out of this game without a block.
I will say this. I can't swear on the radio, man.
Take it up to the line.
Yeah, I
take
cannot.
It up.
I cannot.
No?
I will say this, though. We knew we were going to block a kick. That's what he said.
Yeah.
That's what he just said. Mm-hmm. Those are fighting words.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Well, and how
that
much
means you're not doing your job. He knows exactly what he's saying.
Olin Krutz with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Olin Krutz is the goods. We love talking football with him. This segment with Olin is brought to you by your local Ford dealers. Shop now at buyfordnow.com. Olin is joining me, Matt Spiegel, and him, Mark Grody, right here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Olin, great stuff on postgame. Was driving back and listening to you and Pat and Lawrence. And I wonder, you know, Richard Hightower yesterday took a lot of arrows and was up there being accountable. But it's interesting. I heard Brad Biggs saying this morning that he wasn't particularly impressed with Richard Hightower when a lot of us were. But I wondered what you thought of some of his explanations yesterday, because they were clearly outcoached schematically and in terms of obviously the blocking on that fateful play.
Yeah, it's there's nothing he can say that can make you feel any better about what happened there against Green Bay, especially the weeks leading up to it, right? The Washington Commander week, that game, this coaching staff right now, you got to admit, it's probably reeling a little bit, right? What do we say at the podium? How do we not sound like we're blaming each other? How do we take accountability? If I say this, does that look like I'm pointing a finger at Coach Eberflus? Whose fault is this? It's everybody's fault, right? I don't think anybody in that building is really impressive right now, to be honest with you, with the run that they're on right now. And I know that everybody's tripping over themselves to compliment the way the offense looks, scoring 19 points last week. But a lot of them are right now, they can't say anything right anymore, right? And they've said a lot in that building. They've talked a lot in that building about what happened on that play, what happened in Washington, what happened to the week leading up, what happened before. We got to go to our, you know, we wish we had a first 15. Shane Waldron doesn't hold us accountable. You know, the Hail Mary, the option at the goal line, the fullback dive to Kramer, the loss last week. I mean, no one in that building right now, guys, did they give you an answer? You can shoot arrows at anything they say right now.
And by the way, just to add a little gasoline to the fire for you, Olin, because, you know, I like to do that. This is from Patrick Finley from 3 minutes ago on Twitter. As expected, the league told the Bears that the Packers did not commit a penalty when they blocked the field goal on Sunday.
Wow.
So we're all out of excuses now, Olin.
Right.
There's nothing left.
No, and it's just it was bad execution, right? It was bad execution all around. We've talked about that a lot, right? Mm-hmm. About what hash you should be on. Should they run another play? And then we get it blocked. They don't block it. They don't execute the field goal, right? Like I'm saying, a lot of people can take a responsibility for that play failing. And that's why it's hard to get a straight answer out of anybody at Halas Hall. Right now, what they need to do is show up at Soldier Field against Minnesota, put on a good performance, have a good game management by the coaches, and win that football game.
Let's get there then, Olin, because you mentioned, when I've been wanting to follow up since you just said it, but saying that everybody's been tripping all over themselves trying to compliment what the offense did. And you're right, because it got back to a point where it didn't look horrible. It got back to the mean, I suppose, and maybe a little bit over it. But how do you go about stopping what's going to be coming at the Bears offense this Sunday against the zero blitzing Brian Flores sack happy Vikings?
Yeah, they do a really nice job confusing you up front, right? And confusing your protection plan and your scheme plan and who's playing linebacker. A lot of times you'll have safeties up there, linebackers. You have linebackers who are like D linemen. You have to identify who you're blocking up front, get everybody on the right guys and execute your play. And that's not going to be easy against these guys. It's not easy for anybody, right? I'm sure they'll go back, right? They'll go back and look at the Rams, right? We all know that's where the Bears OC is from. He's from the McVay tree. They look at what the Rams did to score 30 points against these Minnesota Vikings. But a lot of it, guys, obviously hit the ball out fast, quick screens like you saw last week from the Bears. But also a lot of it is Stafford at quarterback arranging things, telling guys who to block. You can hear him on the TV copy, calling calls out, telling him who he wants in the block, and banging the balls out of his hands. And he did a nice job that game. So the Chicago Bears up front, right? Coleman Shelton, Caleb Williams, the two guys who have to organize everything. Their organization skills are going to have to be top-notch, guys. Telling everybody who to block, who to go to. Harrison Smith drops down. Is he playing linebacker? Is he playing safety? Who do we have here when they're all standing up in A and B gaps? Who we slide into? Who we're blocking? And then, guys, we keep talking about the offensive line, the quarterback. What this team does, the Vikings, what they do really, really well is they put your guys, like the running backs and the tight ends, under a lot of stress, and they're trying to guess who the line is blocking, and they're trying to blitz the other guys and make the running back and the tight ends, the guys you don't want to block, they're trying to make them block people.
Boy, that's good. I was going to ask, because we've heard that Brian Flores gives his players a lot of freedom in terms of who's going to be blitzing. So is that what they're looking for, Olin? Like, what kind of keys, to your knowledge, are the defenders looking for as they themselves are deciding who's going to blitz?
Yeah, guys like Harrison Smith, right? Real smart football player. Blake Cashman, Ivan Pace Jr. They do a nice job. Even Joshua Metellus. You're trying to figure out who's coming and who's not. And I remember there were certain teams we played. Rob Marinelli used to do a little bit of this. They'd wait for you to point, guys. When you pointed as a center, if I pointed to say, okay, number 44 is the mic, right? He is the guy we're working to. They immediately said the other guy was coming, right? They immediately, they got a feel for where you're going, who you're blocking, and then they bring somebody else from the other side. So there's going to be times on that football field at Soldier Field coming this Sunday where you'll say, man, the Lions got to block somebody. And really what will happen is that's a quarterback's guy. That's a running back's guy. That's a tight end guy. They put your whole protection unit under a lot of pressure, and they're coming after you, and then they really don't play a typical cover zero. It's almost like a zone on the back end. Flores does a really nice job. This defense does a really nice job. There's plays there to be made. The Bears have to organize up front. They got to try to stay ahead of the sticks and then make big plays.
Did you ever try to bait them? If you knew that they were going to send people based on who you pointed at, did you point to the wrong guy? Did it ever get to that kind of level?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, Speaks, I played a lot of football, you know, how many years. So both things have happened to me, right, where I fooled them under when I played with Mike Tice. Like, say in that Green Bay Packers game, NFC Championship, I had full reign to slide the line any way I wanted to slide it, right, and pick up full blitzes and change the protection. And sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. A team like this, man, it's almost like you got to stick to as simple as possible. You got to do your fundamentals, and everybody just has to do their job. There are some keys. I'd always go into game and say, okay, if I can get three things, right? If I get three things, that's 100%er. If I get two out of three, maybe about 50 to 70%, and then one's not good enough to change the protection, right? So a lot of times these guys, you don't know what they're bringing. They got 8 to 7 guys standing up there. You got to make your call, and you got to trust the fact that the quarterback will either get the ball out or the running back and tight end will make their block. And the offensive line, you'll get caught trying to do too much. Don't try to do too much. Just block your guy, and you got to trust the other guys to make plays on the offense, or you get caught up.
A lot of trust.
You try to go too many different directions, and you get beat.
That's a lot of trust right there, Olin. Yes. I mean, for sure. You mentioned earlier too that there will be opportunities for Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. How realistic is it, do you think, having seen Caleb Williams play, knowing that he's a rookie, knowing that he's not seen a defense like this, is it realistic to think that he will figure it out as the game goes on against Minnesota?
I think he's shown that, right? I think all the way back to the Indianapolis game down there in Indianapolis, he shows late in games, mm-hmm. right? Indianapolis, Washington, last week against Green Bay.
Yep.
The game slows down for him as he keeps playing, right? And we're all hoping that it happens a little earlier eventually this year, right? But we notice that Caleb does play better later, and it does slow down. He starts to notice what everybody's doing. He gets a little more comfortable in the pocket, gets the ball out, starts getting the ball downfield to score touchdowns. Now, listen. The Minnesota Vikings are tough. Flores is tough. Putting the ball in the end zone against them is tough. There's a reason they're 8-2. But, yes, I think especially, guys, at Soldier Field where communication shouldn't be a problem, I think Caleb will start to realize with the pads on the sideline, right, as you guys know, they look at those tablets. It shows them exactly what they're doing out there. They'll go over on the sideline with them. Coach Kerry Joseph, his quarterback coach, he'll go over with him. And I think, guys, that he'll get a little more comfortable as this game goes on, hopefully, and start to adapt to what the Vikings are doing.
Mark Grody, you know about my vaunted career as the center and play caller for the Mighty Sequoias.
We have no choice but to know about it because we talk about it all the time.
Well, yeah. Anyway, but I'm not the best reigning center on the Score Air staff.
What?
I begrudgingly have ceded that to Olin Kreutz, the NFL, the NFL Hall of Fame finalist or semifinalist for whatever.
Didn't make the 25. Made the 50. Didn't make the 25.
Ridiculous,
Olin. You're in the conversation. That's all you needed is get into the conversation. You're there.
That's ridiculous.
That is awesome.
It's just freaking wrong, man. You'll get there. I predict it. You're getting in our
lifetime.
Hopefully
I can still walk up the stairs when I do.
Who would you like to thank, just preemptively? Would you like to start going through some people that you'd like to thank, Olin? Would I make the list, possibly?
That is a good point, Grody, because those are the reasons why you want to get in there, right? Like, not a lot of people get to thank the people who help them on their journey, as I'm sure you guys would like to thank a bunch of people who helped you get to sit in those chairs that you guys are in today. So that's the biggest reason to get there, and it's a long list to thank people who helped you get to that point where you can be mentioned in those kind of conversations.
You're ignoring the question. Would you thank me? Would I make the list? Would I be thanked by Olin Kreutz?
If you get those cleats on and make some moves on that grass, you never know. You may earn the right.
Hey, how about this, by the way? Keenan Allen got a little ankle injury. I was looking at the available receivers. Damir Bird is a free agent at the moment. So I'm just circling his name.
I saw some talk about what's going on with Tyler Scott. You know, maybe he'll be up, but
yeah.
They'll miss Keenan Allen for sure against a team like the Minnesota Vikings, a big target. Hopefully he's okay. Hopefully he can play come Sunday morning.
Damir Bird was the star of the last road win on a Sunday, right? Remember that stat weeks ago?
Yeah, we could probably Olin and I could probably find on Twitter where we're tweeting each other back and forth the bird symbol.
whatever it takes. Olin, Coleman Shelton gets a lot of respect as the information getter in terms of being a center, like you've talked about, the information position. But I saw this since week 5. Here are his grades according to Pro Football Focus among centers. Pass block grade, second among centers since week 5. True pass set grade, second. 3 pressures allowed, which is second. His run block grade is 11th. Those are really good. Has he been playing to your eyes at a level that befits those kind of grades from Pro Football Focus?
Definitely been playing a lot better lately than the year started. And credit him for getting comfortable around all the moving parts that have been in and out there next to him on the Bears offensive line. And yes, one thing you can say is you haven't noticed him on film. He is playing a lot better. He's playing good football. He has a big job, right, with a rookie quarterback. He does a lot of communicating up there at the line of scrimmage. You can hear him and Caleb a lot of times on the TV copy having conversations of who you got, who you don't got. He does a nice job again off the ball, getting his head across nose guards, especially on outside zone. He's been way more stout there in the beginning of the year. Thought he struggled a little bit with power rushers and getting overpowered at the point of attack, especially guys. Brad Biggs, he pointed out to me, he said, usually when the Bears play Kenny Clark, he has big numbers against the Bears. He didn't make the stat sheet this time. So credit to Coleman Shelton there but playing really good football lately, especially with all the moving parts around him. You know, Tevin Jenkins in and out. Bates comes back. He goes right guard. He goes left guard. Curran goes in at left guard, who played not bad there at left guard. So Pryor there at right guard. Pryor going out to right tackle. One consistency has been Coleman Shelton. A credit to him.
Real serious question here about the game, Olin. Why are opposing offensive lines having such an easy time stopping the Bears that are trying to get to the quarterback? Where's Montez Sweat? Where's DeMarcus Walker? Where's all these guys?
Good question.
Yeah, I don't think Montez Sweat wants to admit that shin is probably bugging him a little bit more than it was before. And obviously, he gets a ton of attention out there, right? He always is getting chipped. All the help is going to Montez Sweat. The rest of those guys, Javon Dexter, Taylor, Walker, all these guys got to pick it up a little bit, win their one-on-one matchups. But Montez is getting a lot of attention. They miss Andrew Billings, guys. They miss him in the middle. He was a handful. He collapsed the pocket. His pass rush is pretty good. They really, really miss having him out there on the football field, the run or the pass. I know Dexter was having some good pass rushes early. He gets about one of good pass rushes a game. Just needed a little more consistency out of him. Big, big problem right now, guys, for Chicago Bears, especially when the starters go out for a rest. When that second-team D-line comes in, really looks like offenses notice that. They call their big plays. They call their run plays. They go after them. So, yeah, Montez Sweat, I'm hoping – I don't know, Grody, you would know better than me what he's saying in the locker room. I'm hoping he's saying that he's getting a little closer to 100%. He feels good. So, again, after that quarterback again, and hopefully we see them get a little more pressure, because we haven't seen, like you're saying, these quarterbacks have been having a little too much time in the pocket to attack our secondary, and then we got to go to man coverage and blitzes, and we see what happens a lot of times when that happens.
Yeah, and he's had four different injuries this year, so not beyond the shin, and he is, Olin, you're right, I've been around him, and he's saying exactly what you would think he's saying. He's not using the injuries as an excuse.
And he's effing frustrated.
And you don't blame him for saying that, right? It is a frustrating time there, and I've gone through seasons where people are saying, well, what's wrong with your play? And you don't want to say anything, but you have, like you're saying, Grody, you have like three or four injuries that you're playing about 75-80%, and he's out there on the football field and giving it to, and like we're saying, that's never an excuse in the NFL. Still got to do your job. Nobody cares. Trust me, nobody cares anywhere. When you're injured, you got, and you know, you're one of the higher paid guys at a position, and you're just trying to get out there and you're trying to play football. And like you're saying, man, once you get three or four or five injuries, that's just hard to produce the way you want to.
Olin, are we too easily impressed with Thomas Brown? I know that I've been.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, everybody is.
Tell me.
Slow us down, Olin.
Because I know. I
like Thomas Brown. I like the things he's saying, right? You like the way the offense looked last week. They only scored 19 points. I've heard people that got him at head coach, general manager,
Shane,
taking Kevin Warren's job as president. You never know what could happen in Chicago. We're dying for a play caller. We're dying for this to work. But, yes, we're a little out over our skis right now on Thomas Brown. And obviously, he's going to start putting on film, guys. I don't got to tell you guys this. Start putting on film what you like, your tendencies, what you like to do. And as we go down here, we've seen, everybody's looked at this schedule that the Chicago Bears got, guys. This is a tough stretch against good football teams.
So, Olin, you're saying that my read is off, that after about 9 minutes total of press conferences and one 19-point game, that Thomas Brown might not be the next head coach of the Chicago Bears?
No, he's president. He'll take Kevin Warren's job. He'll get that stadium built.
The overpromotion continues.
On the lakefront.
Hey, Olin, how about this?
But we're starved for straight talk, man. And he's given us straight talk, and the play is getting in fast.
Give an example of straight talk.
Doesn't matter about me.
He says it.
That's not straight talk. Anybody should say that, right? It's not about me.
No, you're
it's
right.
About the players.
You're 100% right.
Him in good position.
He got way too many gold medals for that. You are right.
Right. We've seen people say that for years and not really mean it.
Well, and Thomas Brown might not mean it. Yeah. We still don't know.
That's true. That's true. Well, how about this? No attaboys. No attaboys. It's not like we had a great game and anything. We came close. No, we failed. We didn't put enough points. I like that. Talking about it as a violent game and it rewards people who play it violent. I liked that. And then really getting the plays in fast and letting the players do their thing. Like, it seems to go hand in hand with that kind of talk. But then again, I'm easily impressed. You know?
No, you're right. I mean, He does say the right things at the podium. The game was better. It was more fluid. The plays were coming in. The offense did look better. They didn't find the points they needed, but they did look better moving the ball in that huddle. Still a lot more penalties, I thought, than they should have this late in the season, but it is a new offensive coordinator. Just looking for them to find points, show some consistency, get that offense moving, get it in the end zone. Like you guys know, I am not big on what's coming out of Halasol, what people are saying. I am big on when I turn the film on, right? And I turn the film on, and I don't see a lot of touchdowns.
I mean, you're right. You're right. For sure. I mean, he's barely been here. How about this, though, Olin? If the Bears' offense, if Caleb Williams has three touchdowns, throws for over 300 yards, and the Bears win the game 27-10, will you then jump on the Thomas Brown bandwagon? Yes?
No. No, I got to get at least five. You know, when you say in the NFL, when I study guys, I got three games I study, right? Three games. I can get everything I need out of three games. So get me past three games, week four, five, six, still doing the same things, get this young quarterback improving, keep everybody moving in the right direction. And then after we look at it, the end of the season, if the offense is moving in the right direction, then yes. But I'm not going to hire anybody off of press conferences.
That's fair.
Pretty damn smart, yeah, actually. Because we fall for a lot of stuff, don't we, Olin?
You know what it was, dude? I remember when John Fox impressed me after Mark Trestman.
Well, yeah, it's all relative.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
And then Matt Nagy impressed me after John Fox.
And that's a great point about Thomas
Brown.
But
let's be honest, though. We are cheering for Thomas Brown, man. We do hope he's the guy.
Yeah, we do. Right?
We need it around here. In Chicago, we need a play caller, and I've said many times on these airwaves, it's harder to find an elite play caller than it is to find an elite quarterback. There's not a lot of them in the NFL, so to find that guy who's an elite play caller, man, if we can find him here, and we have this young quarterback who I think, as we're watching him, we're also going to agree, man, there's a little something to this guy running around, and he can make plays and extend plays. He can throw balls, he can throw routes that not a lot of guys throw.
Last thing, Olin. Watching the football in the snow last night was glorious, and we wanted to ask you, a man from Hawaii, how much fun did you have? Did you like playing in the snow? We were thinking about the NFC Championship game against the Saints, among others.
Yeah, of course. Always like playing in the snow. I knew we were going to run the ball right against the Saints. I kind of heard you guys talking about it a little bit earlier when the snowfall started falling down. I think it was 39 to whatever it was. We had about 200 yards rushing. NFC Championship game, Mrs. McCassey holding her dad's trophy up. Not a better moment in my career, guys, especially when the snow started coming down. But, yes, playing the snow is always fun. Playing the rain is fun for an offensive lineman. We played the Green Bay Packers there. I think it was like minus 17 at one point during the game in overtime. A little snow coming down then. So, had a lot of games, you know, like I am from Hawaii, but I've been here since 1998, probably been here longer, dealt with a lot of snow, a lot of cold games. So really, really enjoyed that. I heard you guys talking earlier about how fun that game was to watch that. Of course it was. If you're a football guy, you love that kind of game. Jameis Winston just might be the most entertaining guy in the whole NFL.
Thank you, Olin Kreutz. Appreciate you, man. And congrats to your daughter. All America for volleyball,
really, really
right?
Proud of her. Really? Obviously, 121 people on that team. She came back from just 18 and 19 months out of tearing her ACL. So she worked real hard to get back. Obviously, as you guys know, that is a team award. She played on a great team there, the Loyola Ramblers. She had amazing teammates who really helped her lift her game.
That's tremendous. Congrats
man.
To you, man.
Yep.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, brother. We'll see you. That's Olin Kreutz. He's great at what he does, and we appreciate it right here on The Score. Top of the hour, we'll talk to Chris Emma. He's good when he's filling in for Mark Grody. He's important.
Wait, he's filling in for me?
Yeah.
I have to leave during the Emma segment? I could stay?
No, I'm going to leave.
Oh, you're going to leave.
Yeah, you guys get to do it together.
We need time.
The opposing coach is really damn good. And when he says stuff about the Bears offense, know that he's a guy who knows offense. So let's listen to him next on The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Darnold getting messy, going deep, and he's got Jefferson. He's got Jefferson. It's a foot race downfield with Brown shifting gears, getting a block. That's six.
Spiegel and Holmes show here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Grody, filling in for both at the moment, as we've been talking a lot of Bears today. Actually, this gives me an opportunity to clear something up, since it's my show now.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen, by the way, who twisted his ankle in practice and is down as questionable.
Yes, sir.
On the injury report. It should be very clear, because Olin did say, I think he mentioned he's not practicing.
Yes, sir.
This from Patrick Finley: Bears wide receiver Keenan Allen told me his ankle is a little stiff, but he expects to play Sunday. Just wanted to make that clear.
Thank you so much.
Are we clear?
That is good news. He, an important part of this Bears offense. Kevin O'Connell, the Vikings head coach, is a big fan of Caleb Williams, and he scouts the Bears offense. He knows of which he speaks, folks. Listen up.
In the division, NFC North road game, they're always difficult. Chicago played really well last week, and I think they've, you know, got a very talented roster, a really good young quarterback who at any point in time continues to show all the things that we saw when we were going through the evaluation process of the entire rookie class. So we got to play really well defensively.
Kevin, when you were scouting Caleb Williams, how much of that was he could play here, or how much of it was knowing the Bears have the number one pick, we're going to have to face him twice a year?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you go into what I hoped to be a very thorough and detailed process, you know, you really can't look at it on at the beginning of it if you're going to do it the right way as, you know, start slotting where guys are going to go. You just have to have a complete evaluation of the whole class. So really over the last 2 years of kind of getting a jump on, you know, his previous year and then on into his last year at USC, studied him a lot. Big fan of Caleb, gotten to know him over the years and through the process when he was coming out, you know, immensely talented, both as a thrower, a pure thrower of the football, but his athletic ability, his ability to play outside the structure of a play. He's got the chance to, you know, move the chains on every down, which is what really good quarterbacks in this league consistently demonstrate. And he's, you know, well on his way to doing that. I think he's, you know, a really, really good young quarterback.
Kevin, what did they do differently with Thomas Brown? Because Caleb did look like he was a little more in rhythm last week.
Yeah, I thought Thomas did a really nice job in regards to getting playmakers involved, whether it was an easy touch, you know, on a jet sweep or a receiver screen to DJ Moore. Clearly, you can see Caleb and Rome's kind of meet you factor that comes with all those extra reps that rookies get based upon, you know, the veterans being so friendly with their schedule in the offseason compared to the veteran schedule. They get a lot of extra time on task together, and it shows with the, you know, the trust Caleb has in Rome. And then Keenan Allen, I've been a huge Keenan Allen fan going back years in this league. Separator, so savvy, understands how to work zone, beat man. And I think Caleb with Komet and now Swift in the backfield, I mean, it's a pretty dynamic group of skill players for Thomas to work with. And I thought he did a really good job for a young quarterback, getting him some easy throws, getting the ball out of his hand, but still, you know, allowing some of that freedom that Caleb is so special at to make some plays. So you can see it, and I'm sure they're going to try to stack, what, you know, a good performance on what was a very good performance the other day against a good Green Bay defense. So we've got to show up and play well.
That's a really good offensive football mind. Friendly with Thomas Brown. They coached together on Sean McVay's staff and have stayed in touch. And Kevin O'Connell was thinking about hiring him with him in Minnesota, but then Thomas got a promotion with McVay.
And it makes sense that he comes from McVay because of just hearing him talk right there. So thorough, and it didn't feel like a bunch of blob. A lot of times it is when you hear coaches scouting other teams, this and that, we respect this and that. Like, very especially stuff, because it got me excited thinking about the receiver screen to DJ Moore or handing the ball off to DJ Moore, because there needs to be more of that.
Absolutely. Great run after catch last week for DJ Moore. Hopefully some more. On Sunday, for 3 years, Nick Swartzen has been a target for our guy, Shane Reardon. Celebrity Vikings fan who's funny? Let's go! He joins us, finally, on 670 The Score.
Nick Swartzen, actor / comedian.
Correct.
Or is it comedian / actor?
It is chef / actor / comedian.
You did play a crazy David Bowie fan in Almost Famous.
Yeah, you're welcome, I think.
It's Bowie! Bowie!
Being a Sandler fan and then getting into the Happy Madison family.
My manager was like, he has a movie called Grandma's Boy and he needs someone to rewrite it.
Your bed is a car.
Yeah, but it's a sweet car. My roommates said they're going to get me rims for Christmas. Or a CB radio, I can talk to other car beds.
And then Adam was like, I have an idea for a movie called Benchwarmers. Do you want to write it with me?
Take the Thin Mints back into the apartment. That's our food for the week.
Fine, you can eat the Thin Mints at my funeral, Richie.
We haven't heard from Nick Swartzen.
Norm is one of my best friends.
But anyways, it's time to read jokes.
All right.
It's easy, then you don't have to think of them yourself.
I love it, I hate thinking.
You know, dogs and humans love to run because it apparently gives them a natural high similar to that of marijuana, according to the University of Arizona.
Wow.
After running, what are called cannabinoids, the chemical found in marijuana that gives you a feeling of euphoria, are higher in humans and dogs, and this encourages them to run again. To 7-Eleven for a Slurpee.
So I'm at a charity event a couple years ago. The guy who runs the event comes up to me. He goes, hey man, there's a guy here who wants to meet you. He's a huge fan. I go, cool, who is it? He goes, you're not gonna believe this. It's the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers. So I go, no, f*** that. He goes, what's your problem? I go, I'll tell you my problem. I go, I'm gonna meet him and he's gonna be really cool. And I'm really cool. So I'm gonna be really cool back. Then we're gonna do shots. We're gonna have some laughs. Then we're gonna become friends. Then I won't hate the Packers anymore. And then my life is f***ing over.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Oh, tremendous. Nick Swartzen is a Vikings fan. And
that's a good comedy.
Nick Swartzen, the man that you have seen and heard in a million different things, now joins the Spiegel and Holmes show here on 670 The Score. Maybe you know Terry Bernardino on Reno 911. Maybe you're a Blades of Glory person, a Grandma's Boy person, a Bucky Larson person, or a Nick Swartzen stand-up person, because you'll get a chance to see him at the Chicago Improv at Woodfield Mall in April 2025. Nick, what's up? Welcome to The Score in Chicago. How are you?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me. I mean, people could have seen me anywhere. I mean, they could have seen me at the Old Town Ale House. They could have seen me stumbling out of Zany's. They could have seen me hung over at Portillo's. I mean, there is a myriad of locations you could have caught me at. Good Lord.
Yeah,
you could have seen me in Schaumburg. Who knows?
The Old Town Ale House is just a freaking awesome and legendary spot. But yeah, I was looking at your thing, looking at your bio, and I'm wondering, how did you avoid the Chicago Improv, you know, butter churn that just like sends comedians out there in the world? You didn't have a stint here, did you?
No, it's really funny. I started improv in Minneapolis. And then I started stand-up, and then I just became, you know, obviously a stand-up. But I would do shows at Zany's in Old Town on North Wells.
Yep.
And I would hang out with all the improvisers. And, you know, there was kind of some moments where I thought about doing the Chicago thing, but I was already knee-deep in stand-up, and the improv scene was so oversaturated, and I didn't want to get in line. So I just did stand up, but I hung out with all the Second City people. I've been friends with SNL people forever, but yeah, the Old Town Ale House, good Lord. I mean, I'm surprised anybody makes it out of Chicago. Just if you're a drinker, that city, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, good Lord.
Talking to two who know buddy.
There are options. Yeah, two may be in the program, but there are options available in Chicago for sure. Never mind all that. It doesn't matter that you weren't in Chicago and we don't have that bond. The bond we have is the bit we were just hearing about Aaron Rodgers. We all hate Aaron Rodgers. Have you enjoyed this downfall that we've all been watching in real time?
Thoroughly. I've enjoyed it more. I don't have children, but I already enjoy it more than the birth of my child, if that makes any sense.
It does.
I don't have a child.
It does.
It's the greatest thing ever. I mean, it's just one of those things where... And it's funny because people they don't really understand it if you're not, you know, other divisions and other people understand it within their world. But, like, in the Midwest, like, I don't hate the Bears. I don't hate the Lions. But, like, I hate Green Bay. Mm-hmm. I just hate them. Like, you know, like I said, Bears and Lions, I got a ton of friends from Chicago and Detroit. And, you know, like, I mean, I want to beat you guys, but I don't, like, there's no vehement hate of, like, I just hate. And, you know, Packer fans are awful because they just appear, like, in anywhere. And, like, now it's pointed at me where, like, I'll do shows in, like, Boise, and there'll be people with Packers jerseys in the front row. Like, they just know.
Oh.
So it's just, like, they just appear. Just, like, little roaches. Just obese roaches.
Obese roaches.
You know what we found, though? Because we did a show in Wisconsin at the Brat Stop last week, and we were talking to the Packers fans. Even with Packers fans now, we can bond about hating Aaron Rodgers. Like, they're thrilled to watch him be terrible out there because he held the freaking franchise hostage. So I think the whole division has come together with our schadenfreude for Aaron. That's a nice thing.
Yeah, no, that is a nice thing. And I don't dislike them as much with him not there. I don't, like, hate them. Like, I don't hate Jordan Love. You know what I mean? Like, I hate the Packers still, but I don't. It's not just sheer anger where I feel like I could commit, like, a superhero act of, like, throwing a car over a building or something. That's how much I hated the Aaron Rodgers Packers.
Well, how did you... go ahead. I'm sorry.
What? No. Go for it.
I was going to ask you, how did you handle it then when Brett Favre became the Vikings quarterback? How did you handle that whole era?
That's a great question. I mean, that was extremely difficult because I was really against it.
Yeah.
A lot of people were. Minnesotans were just like, no, no. And then, you know, when you look at it under your lens, when he's on your team, I was like, oh, this guy is a gamer. And I quickly switched. There was a game. Oh, my God, I'm blanking on it. I believe it was the Niners, and he threw a dart, game-winning pass. It was Seattle or San Francisco, and it was a game-winning pass that was so absurd. It was like 40 yards into the end zone, and it was a great catch. And right then, like on a dime, everybody was like, it was a home game. I was there. And everybody was like, oh, yeah, let's go. And I got a Favre t-shirt, and I was like, game on.
Yeah, Greg Lewis, 32-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah, Greg Lewis.
To Greg Lewis. You know, it's funny you say, like, how begrudging your enjoyment of him was. I feel like I heard it in Paul Allen's call after Favre threw the game away at the end of the NFC Championship game. Like,
this is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
There it is. Like, Paul Allen flipped, the switch flipped back to we hate you, Favre, because he broke your freaking hearts after all that.
Yeah, but that's wrong. Paul should know better than that, because that pass to Sidney Rice, Brett had no real choice there because he was getting headhunted, which is proven because Sean Payton got suspended. So it's like Sean Payton had a bounty on Favre. Favre took so many illegal hits, so many nasty cheap shots, and he just kept going, and he was just trying to get the ball closer for a field goal. So I don't fault him in any way, shape, or form.
Well,
to the point where Sean Payton showed up on one of our movie sets because he was friends with one of the actors, and I refused to be on set.
You're hilarious.
I told Sandler. He goes, hey, Sean Payton's showing up. And I go, okay, bye. And he goes, what do you mean? And I go, dude, that guy robbed us of a Super Bowl. We would have won that year. And he robbed us. And Adam's like, dude, you can't be still be mad. And I was like, yeah, I'm walking off set.
That is so beautiful, dude. That is a beautiful meatball level of Viking fandom for our guest, Nick Swartzen here. So, you know, it's interesting. Like, Bears fandom is defined by quarterback starvation. We've never had a 4,000-yard passer, never had a 30-touchdown quarterback. It's insane. What is Vikings fandom defined by? Like, what do Viking fans identify themselves with historically?
Crying out of our genitals.
Interesting.
Just openly genital weeping.
I didn't know it was possible.
We've come so close. No pun intended. We've come so close that it's just horrific. It's really bad when you're close. You know what I mean? Like, that's why we're just not cocky anymore. Like, I don't ever talk smack or anything. I'm just like, I'm not a fighter. But I've gotten in situations at bars. I don't watch games in public anymore. But, I mean, I remember when we lost to Seattle, and it was a 27-yard kick, and Blair Walsh was to win the game. This is when we were before our stadium. We were playing at the Minnesota Gophers Stadium. And some guy at the bar, 27-yard kick to win the game, some guy goes, dude, you got this. Why are you stressing out? And I gave him a deathly stare, and then Blair missed it. And I screamed at the guy and then immediately walked out of the bar. I was like, I can't be in public because it's just like – there's no give me. It's just, it's horrifying. Like, even like this weekend, I'm not confident about the Bears. I mean, the Bears are playing the most bonkers, weird, awful football. But, you know, they've come close to so many games. And, you know, I'm not in any way making fun of Bears fans. And I'm not making fun of the Bears at all. But I did laugh uncontrollably. That Commanders game. Is one of the funniest things I've ever seen because that guy, I can't remember his name.
Tyreek Stevenson.
Celebrating, yeah. Yes, celebrating and taunting the other team. He's supposed to be in position. What are you doing? Then he runs back and then it's his fault.
Yeah. Yes.
We ask that question every day.
Yeah. We're broke. We're still broken from this, yeah. Nick. All right, man. Thank you.
Again, I'm not rubbing that in.
No,
it was just,
but you did.
Fan, I mean, I would expect it was just so, it was the worst conclusion. I was like, oh my God. And I'm on a text thread with a bunch of Chicago comedians like Horatio Sanz, Matt Walsh, a bunch of guys were on a thread.
Friend of the show, Matt Walsh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've done Bear Down a bunch. And Scott Armstrong, brilliant writer, all these Bears fans. And I'm the only Vikings fan. And, you know, just watching the thread of their meltdowns is hilarious. I mean, they're like just – they're next level over it. They're just so over it and horrified. Oh,
yeah. Tell them to call the score. Tell them to call us. They don't have to use their real names. We'll take care of them.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, I'm using my real name.
Are you sure?
What are those dildos going to do? What are they going to say?
We have to ask because – he's a hero of all of ours, and we envy your experiences and your life as Norm MacDonald's pal. And every time he comes up, we all kind of stop and pause and talk to each other about him. What Norm story or joke still knocks you on your ass to this day, Nick?
I mean, I've got a ton of them. In my new act right now, I've got this tour, Toilet Head, that's touring right now. I'm about to go on stage in like an hour. But wow. Yeah, I share like three candid Norm stories that are really great. But yeah, there were so many because he was so weird. Like, you know, I was really close with him and you could never tell if he was like what was going on with him. Like if it was real or not, it was almost, you know, like he was very childlike where he would just kind of come up with excuses and weird things where, I remember we were on tour, and did you see the story where he thought I stole his idea for breakfast?
I have not.
You know this story or no?
I know. I told it
on Conan.
No, please.
Okay. So I'm on tour with me, Sandler Spade, and Rob Schneider, and Norm. And we're finishing the tour, and it's the last show in Connecticut. And so we're really tired. We just all want to catch up on sleep. So we're all on a text thread. So we go to sleep after the show, and then we all sleep in. So I wake up and on the text thread, Norm at 6 a.m. was like, hey, yes, you guys want to get breakfast or what? And then nobody responded because we're all sleeping. So then he responded again. He's like, hey, you guys up or what? and then nothing. And then so we all wake up around 9 a.m. And I go on the thread and I go, hey, I just got up. Does anybody want to eat? And Spade and I think Rob were like, yeah, starving. And then I'm like, okay, I'll be in the lobby. So we go in the lobby and Norm is there and he had just come back from eating breakfast. And he goes, what are you guys doing? Where have you been? And they're like, we're all like, we're going to go eat breakfast. And he goes, what? And Rob was like, yeah, Swartzen did a text to everybody. And he goes, yeah, that was my idea. I thought of breakfast. And I go, yeah, where y'all slept in. He goes, yeah, I know, but Swartzen stole my idea. He goes, that was my idea for breakfast. And, you know, he just went and took it. And I go, Norm, you didn't invent breakfast. And, like, we all were sleeping in. He goes, yeah, I know, but I started it and you just took it. And I'm like, are you retarded? I'm like, what is going on right now?
And I assume you guys all.
Side note, he goes, yeah, well, you know, good luck because it's a. They don't really have breakfast here. And then the concierge is right there. And she goes, yeah, there's like five places to get breakfast. We're at a casino. There's like five places. That's what we're known for is breakfast at a casino. And he goes, ah, I was just walking around for an hour. And it was like, you couldn't find breakfast? I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Nick, this has been so fun. Thanks, man. Really appreciate the time and the warmth and the hang. And we'll come say hello when you are at the Chicago Improv at Woodfield Mall in April. And you know, anything you need in Chicago, please let us know. Kill it tonight. Have fun.
I will for sure, guys. Yeah, I'll be in Chicago in April. I'll see you there.
All right, we'll find you. Thanks.
Thanks, Nick.
That's Nick Swartzen right here on 670 The Score. Damn, that was fun. Chris Emma is next. Good. He's going to join me and Mark Grody on The Score.